You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Dan Feldman here. Welcome to Locked On Pistons. You can follow Locked On Pistons on Audio Boom or subscribe on iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter at Dan Feldman NBA. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope pleaded guilty to a lesser charge stemming from his arrest on suspicion of operating while intoxicated. The exact charge, according to the Detroit Free Press, is allowing a person to drive under the influence. He also took account of careless driving. Will that be enough to get him suspended? That's sort of the key question with this. Most players who get arrested for their first drunk driving offense, and there's a little bit of leeway of exactly what constitutes that. Different states have different laws, but in general, a player's first drunk driving offense leads to a 2-game suspension. I don't think KCP is going to get suspended. I think that's a lesser enough charge where he's going to dodge it, but it's sort of unclear. The NBA is purposefully, I think, vague on this. They want to have the leeway to discipline players how the league sees best. And I don't know what that's going to be exactly here, but I don't think he's going to get suspended. What I feel even more strongly about, whether or not he'll be suspended, will have no effect on his free agency. In the scope of drunk driving, this was a more minor incident. He was, according to police, cooperative. His blood alcohol content was barely above the limit. And that doesn't excuse it. That doesn't make it okay. But there is a difference between somebody being just over the limit, thinking they were okay. Because one thing KCP told the police was that he cut himself off from drinking that night because he knew he'd have to drive. That he wanted to make sure he stayed within the limit. Now, he messed that up, apparently, according to the breathalyzer, according to the police's judgment. And so there maybe should, you know, if that's what happened, there should be consequences for that. But that's much different to me than somebody getting plastered, carelessly getting behind a vehicle and putting other people around them at risk. Both are problems, but there are degrees. We can have degrees in this. So KCP has a very good reputation otherwise, as far as being a professional, somebody who works hard, who takes care of his business, who does the right things off the court. And then you add on everything he brings on the court, an excellent defender of both guard positions, somebody who's been improving throughout his career as a three-point shooter, pretty much a good three-point shooter. Now, his percentage might not wow you, but that's in part because he takes so many attempts. He's very fast. He can get out in transition. He can do a lot of nice things, and he's very young. He's only 24, so he should be good over his next contract. So I don't think this is going to have an effect on him, on his next contract. I think he's still in line to get about the max. If the Pistons can get him for anything less than the max, they should be happy with that. He's going to be a restricted free agent, so other teams can go over the top for offers. And sometimes restricted free agency can improve a player's stock. It can really go either way. Sometimes it has a real chilling effect on the market that teams know the original team's going to match, and they don't want to waste their time. Sometimes teams will go higher and dare the original team to match, that they want the player, and so they'll go in with a higher offer and dare the other team to match. We're going to be in the first year of this new collective bargaining agreement that has changed the process a little bit for restricted free agency. Restricted free agents can sign offer sheets sooner now, so there's a little bit less risk of wasting your time while a team debates matching. Still some, because I don't think those offer sheets will execute to the degree where the 48-hour clock to match is probably not going to happen until the end of the moratorium. And so you still are wasting time. You're not going to let anybody get away officially, but players come to agreements, unrestricted free agents come to agreements all the time during the moratorium. So we're entering a new environment. We'll have to see how that plays out. I do tend to think KCP is going to get offers from other teams, like real offers that he could sign, that he could turn into an offer sheet, an executed offer sheet if he wants to. He might rather wait out the Pistons, try and get a 5-year deal. There's still some leeway there. The Pistons have put out word pretty well, and we've talked about on this show, that they'll match anything. And so maybe that scares off teams, and the Pistons can get him for less than the max. But KCP's agent, Is Rich Paul, who's also LeBron's agent, who's also J.R. Smith's agent, who's Eric Bledsoe's agent, who's Tristan Thompson's agent. And if you remember the playbook from a lot of those free agencies, it's to wait. It's to wait it out. So if KCP doesn't get offers he likes, I think he'll just wait. I don't think he's going to rush to sign a lesser long-term contract with the Pistons. I think he'll force the Pistons to come up to his number. That has been Rich Paul's M.O. So we'll see how it goes, but I do think whatever the league decides that KCP is not going to suffer in free agency as a result. A couple more topics I want to get to today. Talk about Jeff Weltman and the Celtics-Cavaliers game, and a couple of things that tie in with the Pistons. But first, I want to talk to you about SeatGeek. Buying tickets online for sports and concerts has been a confusing process for a long time. It's always been hard to find the best deal for that game or show you want to go to, and none of those older ticket sites want to change that. But SeatGeek is different. They've come along and created an amazing app and website that makes it easier than ever for fans to buy and sell tickets. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone. I used it just the other day to look at Tigers tickets. SeatGeek is always the first place I go to look for tickets to a game or concert. Everything about SeatGeek is designed to make life easier for sports and music fans. SeatGeek does the price comparing for you by searching multiple ticket sites and ensuring you get the best possible deal. SeatGeek does all the work, and you save time and money. And SeatGeek wants to help make sure you get the most bang for your buck. That's why every ticket on SeatGeek is graded based on value. You'll immediately see any underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals that fit your budget. Best of all, my listeners get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. To get your $20 rebate on tickets, download the SeatGeek app, click the settings tab, and click add a promo code. Enter the promo code LOPISTONS. That's L-O as in locked on Pistons. It's L-O Pistons. SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code L-O Pistons today. The Celtics pulled off a shocking upset of the Cavaliers, especially considering how the game went. But the result last night in Game 3 had a couple ramifications for the Pistons. Number one, it ended the Cavaliers' playoff winning streak at 13 games. The Cavs, of course, won the last three games of the finals last year, swept the first two rounds, and went up 2-0 on Boston this year. So that ends the streak as tied for the longest of all time. As we discussed late last week, the Cavs were likely to break out of their tie with the 89 Pistons and get into first place. Those Pistons are tied for second all-time in the longest playoff win streak. Cavs didn't get past that, though. They did break the tie with the Pistons. A few other teams tied there at 12, but now Cleveland is tied for the record at 13, not going to improve on that this year. They'll have to start a new streak. They are tied with the Lakers, whose streak was snapped by the Pistons in the 1989 finals. That's actually what started the Pistons' 12-game playoff winning streak. So the Pistons still have this little piece of history that they stopped for what was tied as the longest playoff winning streak in history. Another note from this Celtics-Cavs game, Jonas Jerebko was really good. Jerebko came off the bench for Boston, scored 10 points on 4-of-4 shooting, made 2-of-2 three-pointers in 13 minutes, had 5 rebounds. He was plus 22 in 13 minutes. He was just all over the court doing a lot of nice things. His versatility is very impressive. And this is your reminder that the Pistons traded him for a washed-up Tayshaun Prince. The Pistons had one thing right. Jonas Jerebko was a better power forward than small forward. They probably figured that out a little too late. And that wasn't all on the Stan Van Gundy regime, because the Joe Dumars regime didn't quite figure that out in time either. But what the Pistons got dead wrong was that even though Jerebko is a better power forward than small forward, he was still a way better small forward than Tayshaun Prince at that point. And who knows where the Pistons would be, where Jerebko would be. He was headed into free agency. I'm not sure there was still a spot for him on this team. But that was just the wrong way to trade him. That was selling low, really getting pretty much nothing in return. Tayshaun didn't provide much. The Pistons would have been better off just keeping Jerebko and letting him walk in free agency for no return. Like, there's only, if you hang on to him with the figuring you're going to lose him, there's at least some upside that he turns into something that you figured out. There was no upside with Tayshaun. He was on his last legs as an NBA player. The Timberwolves didn't realize that and started him a bunch the following year, but he was even more done then. On one hand, it stings a little bit to see Jarebko succeeding on this stage when the Pistons could have done better with him. On the other hand, I'm happy for him. He was the bright spot in some down years. Came into the league as a very nice hustle player, did a lot of the little things you wanted to see. I really liked his game, and then he kind of lost it for a while later in his Detroit tenure. He became more of a jump shooter, an offensive-minded player, and that wasn't quite his game, and he lost some of the hard edge that made him so effective. Well, he goes to Boston, and he's in and out of the rotation. He doesn't have a steady role. And to get his way back, he's really had to rediscover the things he did well, those little hustle plays that he did in Detroit that got him noticed in the first place. He rediscovered that. And some of his offensive skill, it's shining more at power forward. Brad Stevens uses him very well when he uses him, at least. This is really the first game in the series Jarebko's had a major role. Much to mine, a lot of people's chagrin, it seemed like he would help Boston against the Cavs more than some guys who've been playing, somebody like Tyler Zeller, maybe even Amir Johnson, another former Piston. So this game was probably the start of Jarebko getting a bigger role. Like, he earned it. I expect to see more of him throughout the rest of the conference finals, even if that's only two more games. Last note from this Cavalier-Celtics game, Boston won 111-108, but the free throw disparity was pretty huge. The Celtics shot 9 of 12 at the free throw line. The Cavs shot 28 of 36. The last time a team scored so many fewer points from the free throw line than its opponent and still won, it was a Pistons game. I don't know how many of you remember this game. In the 2007 playoffs, Game 2 against the Bulls, the Pistons won 108-87. Detroit shot 16 of 23 from the line. The Bulls shot 37 for 52. Do you remember this game? I really don't. The Pistons went up 2-0 on it. They won comfortably, but that free throw disparity was huge. It was the biggest difference in free throw makes for a team where they got outshot from the free throw line in a playoff win. And that was the most until the Cavs-Celtics last night. So I thought that was just a little interesting piece of trivia. One more thing I want to get to today. The Magic hired Jeff Weltman as their president of basketball operations. Weltman came from the Raptors. Before that, he was with the Bucks with John Hammond. Before that, he spent 1 year with the Pistons. That's where he got to know Hammond. Hammond got the Bucks general manager job, has sort of been superseded by Jason Kidd, kind of, mostly. Weltman eventually moved on. But Weltman, yeah, he came up through Detroit a little bit. That was part of his experience, part of what made him appeal to the Magic. So, you know, I don't think he's going to be looked at as a Detroit guy or a Pistons guy in that sense, but somebody who just had a little bit of experience, who's branching off, who worked his way up, now with the Magic. Just something to keep an eye on. You can follow Locked On Pistons on Audioboom or subscribe on iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter at DanFeldmanNBA. Thanks for listening.
Hi, this is David Locke, founder of the Locked On Podcast Network. Thanks so much for tuning in to your favorite Locked On podcast. We have something really special going on here. We are the only daily local podcast format in the country, and we are one of the only places for local companies to be able to advertise on a podcast serving the fans, the listeners that want your product locally. No other podcast network does this for you. And that's why we want you to advertise right here on your favorite Locked On podcast. Our audience is 98% male. It's about 77% between the ages of 25 and 54, and also 77% between 18 and 44. So you're hitting the core demographic. If your company wants men 25 to 54 or 18 to 44, then you should advertise right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. We'd love to have you. Our rates are reasonable. It's all based on the amount of listens. So you can email me, David Locke, at dlock09@gmail.com, or contact your host. We'd love to have you aboard, joining in with the great success that we're having on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.